Will you please turn to the book of Joel in the Old Testament? Joel chapter 2. We'll read from verse 25 to verse 27. Joel chapter 2, verse 25. And I will restore you to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, my great army which I send among you. And ye shall eat in plenty, and be satisfied, and praise the name of Jehovah your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I, Jehovah, am your God, and there is none else. And my people shall never be ashamed. Habakkuk, still in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet, upon Shigionoth. Jehovah, I heard the report of thee, and I feared. Jehovah, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. And finally, Haggai. Haggai, chapter 2. We'll read from verse 1 through verse 9. In the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, came the word of Jehovah by the prophet Haggai, saying, Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not how? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, said Jehovah, and be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, said Jehovah, and work, for I am with you, said Jehovah of hosts. The word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remain among you. Fear ye not, for thus said Jehovah of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. And I will fill this house with glory, said Jehovah of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, said Jehovah of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, said Jehovah of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, said Jehovah of hosts. May we have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we know we are in thy presence, and this is holy ground. We pray that we all will remove our shoes and be humble before thee and hear what thou, our Lord, hast to say. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. God willing, in the morning, we will be sharing together on recovery. Our brother Lance will speak on the eternal purpose of God. And I will be on the recovery of God's eternal purpose. Recovery is the cry of the centuries. This cry begins with God. And it is echoed throughout the centuries by godly men and women. It is a deep calling unto deep. Even way back in the beginning of human history, in the Garden of Eden, we hear that cry. Man whom God created failed. And God came into the garden to seek the fallen man. And his cry was, Adam, man, where are you? It is a cry of anguish, a cry of love, a cry of recovery. And this cry continues on throughout the centuries. Around 2500 BC, because of the corruption, the violence, and the sin of the world, God sent the flood to destroy the earth and all the living things that were in it. But Noah and his family received grace, and they were kept through the flood in the ark. And after the flood was over, Noah and his family came out of the ark, and he offered sacrifices to God. And when God smelled the fragrance of the sacrifices, the Bible says he repented of what he had done. And then he said, I will not curse this earth because of man. For man was evil in his thought from his early days. And God said, as long as there are days of the earth, there will be seed and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. In other words, here you'll find the cry of God. He repented of what he had done because of his tremendous love for mankind. Around 1500 BC, God led his children out of Egypt. And when Moses, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, he looked back over that 40 years, he had a prayer. And it was recorded in Psalm 90. Moses, the man of God, He looked back into the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And he offered a prayer. Return, Jehovah, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants. The last word of Moses to the children of Israel. He put before them the blessing and the curse. And then he said, return to Jehovah thy God. Then Jehovah thy God will return thy captivity. Return and hearken to the voice of Jehovah. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 1 to 10. Then again, around 1100 to 1000 BC, we hear the cry of Ruth. She cried to Boaz, spread thy skirt, thy garment over thy handmaid, for thou hast the right of redemption. And again we find Hannah in 1 Samuel. In her anguish, he prayed to God for his son, that she might lend it to the Lord. Another cry for recovery. And then around that time, we remember Moses, I mean David. There you find David, the sweet singer of Israel. In his Psalms, he mentioned about this matter of restore. In Psalm 6, verse 4, return, Jehovah, free my soul, save me for thy loving kindness' sake. And again in Psalm 51, 12, restore unto me the joy of salvation. Not only the psalmist David, but Asaph, in Psalm 80, verses 3, 7, and 18, he also prayed, O God, restore us, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Restore us, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Revive us, and we will call upon thy name. 800 B.C. The prophet Isaiah, he prophesied in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 20 and 21. And it shall come to pass in that day that a remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again rely upon him that smote them, but they shall rely upon Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. But through the prophet, we also hear the cry of God. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel. For thou art my servant, I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 44, 21, 22. And because of the cry of God and the prayer of the saints, finally we find So the redemption of Jehovah shall return, and come to Zion with singing, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy. Sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Isaiah 51, 11 and 12. About 600 years BC, we hear the cry and see the tears of Jeremiah. God called his people through the prophet Jeremiah. And Jeremiah, representing the remnant, the godly ones, respond to God's cry. Return, backsliding children. I will heal thy backsliding. That's the cry of God. And the response of the godly ones. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art Jehovah our God. Jeremiah 3:22. And then we hear the laments. Jehovah, are not thine eyes upon fidelity? Thou hast smitten them, but they are not sore. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Jeremiah 5, verse 3. And then the word of God. Thus said Jehovah, do men fall and not rise up? Does one turn away and not return? Why has this people of Jerusalem slidden back with a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. Jeremiah 8, 4 and 5. But God's love is so persistent. I have spoken unto you, rising early and speaking, and ye have not hearkened unto me. And I have sent unto you all my servants the prophet, rising early and sending, saying, return, ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I have given to you and to your father. But ye have not inclined your ear, nor hearkened unto me. Jeremiah 35, 14 and 15. And even so, God still promised them with a new covenant. About 500 years BC, in the post-exilic period, we have these three prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And again we hear through these prophets the cry of the centuries. In Haggai, God called his people to consider. In Zechariah, God calls his people to return. And in Malachi, he calls his people to repent. You know the word return, restore, repent, revive. These are words of recovery. Then you come to the New Testament time. For 400 years, God was silent. And then suddenly, there was a voice in the wilderness. And the cry was, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. And this cry was taken up even by our Lord himself. He called his people to repent. For the kingdom of the heavens has drawn nigh. He came. He accomplished the work of recovery. And then you find the cry was taken up by the apostles. In Acts chapter 3, you find Peter. He said, there is a time of refreshing, a time of restoration coming. And Paul, in Romans 8, he tells us about the groaning in this universe, especially groaning in the hearts of the first fruits, groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God, when the whole universe will be delivered. And thank God, when you come to Revelation chapter 21, you hear God said, it is done. So dear brothers and sisters, recovery is the cry of the centuries. It begins with God, and it ends with God. Now this is the history of recovery. Now for this morning, we would like to concentrate ourselves on the cry we hear from three of the minor prophets. The first one is Joel. Most likely, Joel is the earliest, if not the first, of the so-called 12 minor prophets. Most likely, he prophesied during the days of Joash. After the nation was restored from that evil woman, Athaliah, and this little boy, Joash, he came to the throne through the help of the high priest. And there was a restoration during that period. The temple was opened. And temple service was resumed. And outwardly, there seems to be a good recovery. But God's word came to Joel. He came in the spirit of Elijah. Because God was not pleased with this restoration. It was a restoration outwardly. But the hearts of the people did not return to God. And we know that God is never satisfied with outward correctness. He wants that inward reality. That nation, at that time, was plagued by locusts and drought. These are natural disasters. And people would take these as natural. But God, through his prophet Joel, reminded his people that these were not natural disasters. These were sent by God. God disciplined them with locust plague. And God disciplined them with drought. And they were reduced into poverty. And even the temple service suffered greatly. So God, through His prophet, called His people to repent. If they did not repent, there will be greater trouble coming. The day of Jehovah was coming. Now, of course, the immediate fulfillment was the Babylonian invasion. But we know the full fulfillment is yet in the future. But anyway, you'll find that God called His people. That these were the discipline of the Lord. Whom the Lord loveth, He chastises. Now even though they were under such distress, and even though there will be greater judgment to come upon them, and yet, God said, there is a way. There is a way to escape. There is a way to recover. In chapter 2, verse 12, yet even now, said Jehovah, turn to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments. And turn unto Jehovah your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great loving kindness, and repented Him of the evil. Who knoweth? He might return and repent, and leave a blessing behind Him, an oblation and a drink offering for Jehovah your God. There is a way out of discipline. And the way is to repent. Not just rent the garment, but is to rent the heart. Because our God is gracious and merciful. So the prophet, representing the godly remnant among the people, they said, they responded in verse 15, blow the trumpet in Zion, hallow a fast, proclaim a solemn assembly, gather the people, hallow the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride from his closet. Let the priest, the minister of Jehovah, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, spare, O Jehovah, thy people, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that they should be a byword of the nations. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? The only response to the call of God is to assemble an assembly. Cry unto God, spare, O Lord, spare thy people. And as a result, in the following verses, you'll find God said, Jehovah will be jealous for his land, and we have pity on his people. And it is in this connection that he said, I will restore to you the years that were eaten by the locusts. Now, of course, brothers and sisters, you cannot recall those years. Time passed and it is past. But there is a way to restore the years, and that is God is able to so multiply the years to come that it really not only cover what was lost during those lean years, but even with more left over. And that is the way that God does the work of recovery. So here you'll find God said he will restore the years eaten by locust. Now, brothers and sisters, this is not just history. This is not just something to do with the earthly people of God. This is written for our admonition. We as God's heavenly people, these words are for us. I believe that the word of God through Joel to the nation of Judah is not addressed to the church in apostasy. I believe these words are addressed to the church in spiritual declension. The church has not gone into apostasy yet. And yet, the church has left the first love. You find that outwardly everything seems to be going on as usual. We have services, Christian services. We have meetings. We read the Word of God. We pray. There are many activities going on. Outwardly, it seems as if the temple was open and the temple services were restored. Outwardly, it seems as if we are a religious people. We are serving God. But brothers and sisters, God looked into our hearts. He is not deceived by any outward appearance. He can see through us and see what really is in us. Is our heart really after him? Is our heart pure towards him? Where is our first love? These are the things that God is looking for. He's not satisfied with outward correctness. He wants reality. And because of this, the church today is under discipline. Brothers and sisters, with the children of Israel is a drought. It's a locust plague, and maybe Babylonian invasion. But with the church today, we are under discipline. How do we know? It is because we are in spiritual poverty. The church should know the fullness of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ is our portion. We should experience his richness. But dear brothers and sisters, everywhere among God's people, you notice one thing, poverty. Spiritual poverty. Strangely, in the time of spiritual poverty, you have great material prosperity. And oftentimes we are deceived by material prosperity. We think that these are the sure sign of God's blessing. And even today people preach prosperity gospel. But dear brothers and sisters, is it really God's blessing? Or are we under His discipline? Is it not time for us to rent our heart? Is it not time for us to gather together and cry, "Spare, O Lord, spare thy people"? If we do, there is hope. We believe that He is able to restore to us the years that were wasted. Brothers and sisters, as we look back over our past years, whether individually or as corporate bodies, we have wasted our years. We need to ask the Lord to restore the years that have been eaten by locusts. If we humble ourselves, He will do it. So may the Lord touch our hearts. The second prophet we are like to consider is Habakkuk. The prophet Habakkuk, most probably, he prophesied during the latter years of King Manasseh. You know, King Manasseh was a very wicked king. And because of his wickedness, God determined to destroy the nation of Judah. But Manasseh repented. And because he repented, God spared him and spared the nation. And then he was followed by King Josiah. And during the days of Josiah, there was also a restoration. Now most likely Habakkuk, he prophesied during the latter years of Manasseh and early years of Josiah. He had a conversation with God. This book is actually a conversation between God and Habakkuk, the prophet. God opened the eyes of Habakkuk. He looked at the nation. Again, outwardly, there was some restoration, especially we know Josiah, how he restored the temple, cleansed the temple, and re-established the temple service, and the people began to worship God again. So outwardly you'll find there was quite a revival among God's people. But maybe Josiah's heart was right. But the people's heart did not turn really to the Lord. So here you'll find Habakkuk. As he looked into the situation of God's people, he saw among God's people violence, strife, contentions, injustice. Now our God is a holy God. He is a righteous God. And he demands that his people be righteous and be holy. But instead, Habakkuk saw among God's people striving, contentions, violence, injustice. And the unjust seem to prevail over the righteous. Things were not right among God's people. So he cried to God. He said, God, why don't you do something? Why do you not correct the people? Why don't you discipline them, chastise them? This is not the right condition. And as he cried to God, God said, yes, I'm going to do a work. And you will be amazed. I will bring the Babylonians to come and destroy Judah, to punish my people. Now, when Habakkuk heard this, he was really puzzled. He was not happy with the evil conditions of his own people. And he wanted God to do something to correct them. But instead, God used an instrument that is even more wicked than the children of Israel. So he wondered why God used the more wicked to punish the wicked. He couldn't understand. So he climbed into the tower, and there she stood in watch, waiting for God to reveal his mind. And God said, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but it hastened to the end and shall not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, for it will surely come, it will not delay. God said, yes, it is coming. The enemy is coming. They are coming to destroy the nation. He will not be delayed. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not right with him. It is true. The king of Babylon was an instrument in God's hand to chastise God's own people. But when the king of Babylon did it, his soul puffed up. He thought it was his own power. He was by his own strength that he was able to destroy all these nations. God said, I know his heart, but the just shall live by his faith. In other words, all these judgments are coming. They are sure to come. But how are you going to go through all this? By faith. You have to believe that God is working out his purpose. God knows. You may not understand. You are puzzled. God does things in a strange way. But he's working out his purpose. So do not faith, but have faith. The just shall live by faith, and you can go through it. And because of this, the prophet stood with God, and then come to chapter 3 his prayer. Jehovah, I heard the report of thee, and I feared. Jehovah, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. Even though it is the work of judgment, do it. In order to fulfill thy purpose, but in wrath, remember mercy. Now this is the prayer of the prophet Habakkuk. Even though the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive tree shall fall, and the field shall yield no fruit, no food. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in Jehovah. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Jehovah the Lord is my strength, and he maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my high places. That's the song, he said. So, brothers and sisters, what is this to us? What do you see among God's people today? What do you see in yourself? What do you see around you? We are God's people. We are here to represent God. We are here to express His holiness and His righteousness for the world to see. But instead of that, what conditions do we find ourselves? If we really see ourselves with the eyes of God, we will see violence, contentions, strifes, injustice. Is it not true among God's people today? How we are divided, we swallow up one another, we fight against each other, there's lots of corruptions going on, evil going on. No testimony to this world. On the contrary, we find the world seems to overcome the church, got hold of the church. Is this not God's judgment upon his church? When you see the worldliness of the church, when you see the world seems to overcome the church, remember, this is judgment. Judgment begins with the house of God. Judgment has already begun with the church. And after God has judged his church, he will judge the world. Now, how are we going to go through these difficult days? The word of God is, the just shall live by faith. This is a time that we cannot live by sight. If we live by sight, we will faint. We will be discouraged. I remember that hymn written by Charles Wesley, I think. Change and decay in all around I see. But thou who changest not, abide with me. That is faith. We see all these around us. And how are we going to go through? It is by faith. The Lord is our joy. The Lord is our strength. And it is only by believing in Him that we are able to get through. So what should be our prayer these days? I think we should take up the prayer of Habakkuk. Revive thy works in the midst of the years. Now, strangely, if you compare Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3, with Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, for yet a little while, he that comes will come, and will not delay. But the just shall live by faith. And then you turn back to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3. And he will surely come, and will not delay. But the just shall live by his faith. Now in Habakkuk you find it is it. It will surely come. It will not delay. And the it refers to the work of God, the work of judgment. Judgment will come. And the just shall live by faith. But the Holy Spirit in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 37, in quoting Habakkuk, he changed the word it into he. It's a he. That comes, will come, and will not delay. And we know that he is Christ. So brothers and sisters, here we know our Lord is coming back. Even though there's judgment going on in the church and is in the world, and greater judgment is coming, but thank God we know He, our Lord, is coming soon. And He will not delay. And because of this, it gives us great hope. The just shall live by faith. And finally, Haggai. Now the prophet Haggai prophesied after the return of the remnant from Babylonian captivity. The children of God were in Babylonian captivity for 70 years. And in the mercy of God, God opened the way for them to return to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple, that God may have a name on this earth. But unfortunately, you find the majority of the children of Israel remain in the land of captivity. They did not bother to return. They had established their business. They had established their home. And they were able to worship God in their synagogues. And they were satisfied with their conditions. They were not interested in God's name. Interested in God's right. Interested in God's purpose. So the majority did not respond to God's call. He remained in the land of captivity. But thank God, there was a remnant. Their spirit was stirred by God. And they were willing to leave everything, return to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple for God. In other words, they have a heart for God, a love for God. They are willing to sacrifice everything for the name of God. And they return to rebuild the temple. But after this remnant returned, and when they started, they met difficulties. They were attacked by the enemies, accused by the enemies. And their hands were weakened. And the work of rebuilding the temple was stopped for about 15 years. During those 15 years, they had not forgotten why they came back. They came back for one purpose only, to rebuild the house of God. They still remember, but say, this is not the time. We are waiting for a convenient time. Then we will build God's house. But they need to be occupied anyway. So during those 15 years, they began to build their own houses. And they built beautiful houses, panel houses. So God sent the prophet Haggai to them and said, and challenged them, and said, you say this is not the time to build a house of God. Is it time to build your own panel houses? You leave the house of God in desolation, and you build your own houses. Consider. Four times God called his people to consider. Consider what you have been doing during those 15 odd years. You leave the house of God desolate. You build your own houses. But do you have a good time? You don't. You are in need. You put much work and you gain a little. Your pocket leaks. Nothing satisfies. Don't you understand? Why is it so? Consider. Set your heart upon. Think about it. What are you doing? And then the second, consider. Now consider. Go to the mountain. Cut the trees. Prepare the materials. And start to build the house of God. So the remnant listened to the prophet. They began to start to work. Lay the foundations and start to work. But within a month, they were discouraged. Why? Because as they began to start to rebuild that house, they knew for sure, no matter what they did, they will never be able to restore the temple to the glory of the temple built by Solomon. They were just a remnant. They were poor. What could they do? They could only build a very small house. That's all they could do. So some of them began to say, now what bother? Why bother? We cannot restore it to its former glory. So they were really discouraged. about the works of their head. So the prophet again prophesied to them and said, now you have seen the house before. And you look at this house that is going to be built. It's so insignificant. But remember, be strong. Be strong and work, because I am with you. I who have led you out of Egypt, I have not left you. My covenant is still with you. And remember, the latter glory of the house is greater than the former glory. In other words, even though the house you are building is so insignificant, yet there is only one house. Whether it is the tabernacle Moses built, or the temple Solomon built, and now the second temple you're building, and then the real house of God that our Lord is building, it is all one building. It is just one building in the process. You are part of the process. It is not lost. It is adding into that which is God is after. And eventually you will find the latter glory of the house is greater than the former. When you see the New Jerusalem, isn't that latter glory of the house greater than the former house? So be encouraged. They continue to work. But then again, they were discouraged. They said, well, before we lay the foundation, yes, we were in poverty. Now, after we have started, we are still in poverty. Why is it the Lord's blessing has not come yet? And the prophet said, consider, consider. Consider the days before you lay the foundation. Yes, you were in the discipline. But now, since the foundation is laid, the blessing of God is coming to you. So the remnant was encouraged, and you remember how the house was rebuilt. Now, brothers and sisters, again, this is for us. As you look into the church today, is it not in Babylonian captivity? The church has been in Babylonian captivity for centuries. But thank God, a remnant returned. As a matter of fact, in church history, you find throughout the centuries, especially since 16th century, God is doing the work of recovery. And you'll find there are remnants coming back. Oh, as a matter of fact, even in the first century, you have a remnant. All these centuries, you have those who return to the simplicity of Christ, and who return to the Word of God, who return to the pattern of the New Testament. Throughout the century, there is always a remnant there. And this remnant comes back for God's testimony. And brothers and sisters, may we be the remnant in our time. Have we come out of Babylon, out of confusion, out of captivity? Have we returned to Jerusalem, the city of peace? Have we returned to purity, to simplicity of Christ? Is it not our desire that we shall return and rebuild His house, a name for Him, a testimony for Him? Not for ourselves, for Him. Are we willing to pay any cost to rebuild His house? And is it not for this purpose we come together? But brothers and sisters, again, the adversary, the enemy, is around us. And he is trying to discourage us, to attack us, to destroy us, to stop the work that we are doing. Brothers and sisters, was there a time that the Lord's call really come upon you to leave Babylon and return to Jerusalem? Was there a time that you really left all to follow the Lord? Was there a time that you really have the house of God in your heart? Was there a time that you really gathered with some of pure heart, pray together, seeking the Lord together, that his testimony may be upon this earth? Was there such a time? And now after some years, maybe 15 years, maybe 20 years, maybe more, maybe less, is it because of opposition? Is it because of difficulties that you lay aside the work that you ought to be engaged in? You have not forgotten. But maybe you say, this is not the time. And now you are occupied with building your own house. What are we occupied today? Is it the house of God or our own house? Is it his testimony or our testimony? Is it not a time that we consider? Is it not a time that we be strong and work? Is it not a time that we look forward to see that the latter glory of the house is greater than the former? So, brothers and sisters, we are living towards the very end of the recovery work of God. There is a promise. God promised he will recover all. Recover his eternal purpose among his people. May this be our prayer, that we pray, revive thy works in these days. And may we be strong and work. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we know thy heart is to recover all. Lord, we just pray that thou give this heart to us, that we may be of one heart, one mind, one spirit, one soul with thee. We pray that during these days that thou wilt put within our hearts a cry, thy cry, that we will echo it, we will offer it, and with it we will offer ourselves, that thou mayst do thy work of recovery even in us and through us. To thee be the glory. In the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.